Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim to Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'd be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
Check it out, y'all.
I've been counting my life.
I'm tired and I want to give up.
I've been wondering why.
Why is the world getting so crazy?
Still somehow I believe.
Come too far to die now.
Always survive.
If you're a survivor, get up.
Let's get it.
I'm a friend now. Go ahead and get out of my face. I'm a hurt now.
Everybody, that's right.
Yep, this is it. This is it. As long as we have time, we have the opportunity to choose, and as long as we have the opportunity to choose, we have control over our lives. Simple and plain. Folks, welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. I am your host. Bear with me here. I tell you, just when you start to do stuff, as soon as I start these shows, all kind of things sometimes break loose. But anyway, welcome to blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. This is your host, 5 Smooth Stones. I'm Brother Seth. I just want to thank everybody for stopping by. I want to thank you for your time. This show tonight, I have to say this, is one of the shows that I don't even have to really study for, don't have to research for, because it is and has been my life. By that I mean what I'm about to share tonight has have so much experience. You know, people say you need to be able to, how they say it, what the old folks say about experience. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, many people have preached forever that until you walk through something, you really don't have no comment. You know, even the Messiah, was the Bible says he was tempted in all areas, that he'll be able to be that mediator and the comforter and the advocate for us to the Father. And I feel like with this topic we're going to talk about tonight, that I have walked through this, I've had experience. My mother raised us up in the church. We started going to church at the age of, I mean, as long as I can remember being a person, I've been in church. But I know we went straight for every day. We very, very seldom missed church. I'm talking about, when I say every day, I mean literally every day. Like 7 days a week we went to church. And I know that's a bit much, but that's what my mother did. That's what she believed. So being raised pretty much by the church, you saw a lot, you saw a whole lot, and although this was the Pentecostal type of church, we was able to see a whole lot. So what we talk about tonight is going to be straight-up experiences, true live stories. I don't know if I'll call names, but I don't know if it's needed, but we will call some names because we want y'all to know that this is real, and this, the purpose of this show is always, as always with all shows at 5 Smooth Stone, is to help us in some kind of way walk closer to the Most High. So again, thank y'all for stopping by. Please visit us at blogtalkradio.com/5smoothstones. That's 5 smooth_stones. Not a dash, but an underscore. Okay. The Most High is doing a lot with us. The Most High is doing a lot with us. And when you go to that page, we want you to go ahead and click on the website, the new website we have. Some of y'all have already joined and became members. I appreciate that. Go back and look at it now. I'll put some videos on there. I don't know the last time y'all went, but I'll put some videos. I'll put some very important videos, I should say, very important, vital videos, messages that we are putting out there with regards to the 5 Smooth Stones or the 5 messages that we talk about all the time. And I also put some pictures on, some new pictures on there, some new audios on there. The audios are really nice. A lot of the music is going to be very, y'all will like the music I put on there. And we are not done. We're going to put a whole lot more. My goal is to put, I got to know at least about 300 more items to put on that site. So just know that it's just created. It's a brand new site under construction, so we're not done. But go and register, be a part of it. We're going to be sending you information whenever we are doing something that we need to participate in. But folks, I'm going to tell y'all something. It's not enough to just be jumping from blog to blog and listening. I mean, yes, it's good to get the truth, but people that put out the truth need to be supported. If it's nothing more than just an email from time to time, they need to be told, brother, sister, you're doing the right thing. You know, you blessed me. This word has blessed me. Or not. You know, they need to be told, hey, I think you're preaching heresy. Because sometimes they may be. So, but you gotta say something. Humans need that contact. And some of y'all have done just that with us. You've been there from the beginning, supporting, emails, offering to do this, offering to do that. And I want to thank y'all for that. I really, 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 truly value every single one of y'all. So I want to thank everybody right now for being in the chat room, those that are in the chat room, also those that are on the phone lines. We thank you for being there. If you have any questions, press 1. Y'all know the rules. Press 1, press 1, press 1. And I'll get to you as soon as I can, those are in the chat room. If you have any questions, please just simply type your questions, and we'll get to that as soon as we can. All right, and I'm very serious about that. Now, I know with me doing this by myself right now, and my wife was doing it early on, but she has been involved in some other things. She's trying to get a degree, and we're down to the last, very last semester, so you know how that is. Those of y'all that has went through this, it ain't no joke. And so she's buckled down, and she can't really commit herself to blog talk like she used to, but we are together. We are one unit along with y'all, a lot of our friends. And so when we say Five Smooth Stone, y'all hear me saying us, it ain't just me. Brother Seth, it's a lot of people that have contributed in many ways to help make this possible. Speaking of which, I have a quick ad I want to play for you, and then we're going to get right into this. Right into this, folks. I'm telling you, Pastor's Gone Wild is no joke. And again, I can't tell you enough, the purpose of this is simply to expose the lie, the fraud, the fake, and to reveal the truth. That is all I'm about. I ain't down trying to put down no churches tonight, so if y'all down in the church and trying to hear a little something from Brother Seth, no, it ain't going to go down like that tonight. I'm not trying to bash no churches. I'm just trying to share some experiences I've had that's very, very real and very, very scary, and some of the experiences were. But I love the church. So, anyway, speaking of supporters, check this out, and we'll be right back.
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer, and I want to thank you for listening to our Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S.com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Five Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, are so-called modern-day Negroes, all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
And that is correct. There will be no peace to the true, authentic bloodline Israel is resurrected, and then that remnant of them that seek the Most High after their heart is pulled from them. Of course, everybody's not going to go, even those that are after the Most High's heart, but there will be a small remnant of the natural resurrected Israel that will return to the land and do a work that will usher in a new age. And I just believe that, folks. Watch and see, don't it happen? It's already happening. How can you knock something that's already happening? But anyway, today's topic, because y'all know we deal with that subject on Saturdays, and that's pretty much it. We talk about that subject on Saturdays and normally on Sundays, but today we're starting a short series on what we call Pastors Gone Wild. But normally we do talk about that on Sundays. Okay, but on Saturday and Sunday we talk about the Hebrew thing. Anyway, I thought I would put in those clips. I mean, you heard earlier, Brother Bobby, Victim to Victorious, and I'm doing some little extra things. And the reason why is I want people to know it's not just Brother Seth. I want to hear a testimony. And so sometime in the future, I'm going to start adding little testimonials in our program where people can know that there are people that are listening out there that are being blessed. So some of y'all have asked for videos. And so if you feel led, just, and this show has been a blessing to you, send me something to my email in the audio form, letting me know how much the show has been to you, and we'll play your video as well, okay? All right, let me read the show's description where we'll all be on the same page. We'll all be on the same page. As a matter of fact, let me open up with a word of prayer to ask the Most High's direction on this. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this opportunity to pray and speak to you. We want to thank you for your love and your mercy towards humanity. Thank you for sending the Messiah. Thank you for having him shed his blood, being a lamb slain once and forever for the sins of the world, that now we may be able to come to you, our Heavenly Father, and talk to you and speak with you and get an understanding from you. Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for Christ. Thank you. Father, we ask tonight that you would just show us, help us to understand truly what Brother Seth, what I'm trying to say to the people, what you share with me, what you've shown me with regards to the ministers and the churches, the deception, the things that have set me free. Help my brothers and sisters to be set free even more than I've been. Speak through them to me, if that's your will, that I may be set free even more. Father, I pray that tonight won't just be some babbling words and just another blog, but I pray your blessing upon the listeners, that you would help us, show us, enlighten us, what is the path to go, how we're supposed to look at these ministers, pastors, evangelists, teachers, how we're supposed to use them in the church, how they're supposed to be used in our life with regards to the Holy Spirit and us understanding truth. These things we ask in your Son's name. In your Son's name, amen. Okay, folks, I mean, I know some of y'all might think, oh, that's a little bit spiritual. We don't have to do all that. It ain't that serious. It really is. It really, really, really is. Matter of fact, as serious as you think it is, right now in your mind, multiply it times four. And that's probably how serious it is to us. Very serious about this topic tonight. A lot of these pastors have gone wild. It's just that simple. The church is hijacked, has been. The church has been hijacked. Yes, there are people in the church that have a true relationship. Yes, a lot of people in the churches are real. They love the Most High. And that's what gives it strength. That is the only reason why it ain't dead and people haven't all walked away, because there are that realness about it. No matter how phony leaders may be or how greedy leaders may be or how deceptive leaders may be, they always have flock, sheep, followers, that is true to the Most High and His message and His purpose. And that electricity that oozes from them, spiritually speaking, is what keeps that church afloat. So let's get right into this tonight, folks. Please, please check your hearts, your minds. I'm not trying to dog out the church. I really, truly am not. So we got to definitely understand Brother Seth Hart tonight. I want to read the show description, and then we're going to look at a few scriptures, and some of this is just common sense, what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's not necessarily a Bible study. We're not getting deep like that, but we are going to look at some of this that is very, very serious. We're all going to talk about some scriptures, okay? But listen to the show description. So earlier I typed this. A few days ago I sat down and I set this up, and I typed short series, Pastors Gone Wild. And I went on to type, before I begin, for the record, please know that this brother loved the church for all the powerful and wonderful deeds it does on the planet, and will never speak one word to destroy the true church. Long live this church. This show isn't about tearing down the true church, the true disciple, the true gospel, the true creator, but the imitations is what we are discussing for the edifying of the true church and its true message. Having said that, we will discuss controlling men pastors that rule, that run off men, controlling men pastors that run off men, controlling women that run off men, women-led churches, forever building programs at most churches, inflated church membership, inflated church numbers for economic greed. A lot of these ministers will tell banks that they have, if you just simply go to the church service and write your name on something, oftentimes they will claim that it's membership. Go to banks and boast that they have these members. If you just walk down the aisle and say that you shake the pastor's hands in the Baptist church, or you give your life to the Most High in the charismatic church, they get your name and they claim you as a member. You don't have to go no more. Man, they will keep your name forever and send you stuff in the mail, and that's what they go to these banks and they boast large memberships, and banks pay attention to that and make them look a lot bigger and more powerful than they really are. Forever building programs at most churches, inflated church memberships for economic greed, fake prosperity. There is a real prosperity, but I'm talking about fake prosperity, fake growth. You ever see churches seem like they're growing, 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 but really not growing? Fake growth, fake progress, fake peace. You ever see people that look like they're so happy and peaceful, but you're really watching? If you follow them past the church house, they don't have the peace. And, I mean, folks, this can be any of us, okay? Fake charity. You know, a lot of churches are out, supposed to be doing this for the poor, we're doing that for the poor, but you ask the poor about them, they don't like the way they handle them. A lot of charities or charitable organizations, it's not that they're giving some, it's how they do it. So it's not a heart of charity, it's just some people giving away stuff because, you know, they're supposed to be giving away some stuff. And it's a big difference between somebody helping the poor, sharing with the poor, being having a heart of charity, and somebody just going out of obligation. It's a big difference. And the poor can really tell you that, okay? I've been in situations where I've had to accept some things, and I'm telling you, it is a big difference. Fake smiles and genuine concern. Phony miracles versus the real ones. Abuse of real gifts of the Spirit. Yes, there is a such thing as real gifts of the Spirit. Then there's fake gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and all of them can be phony. Some of them can be acted out, and then others are very, very real. Okay? How about this, $10, $20, $100, $1,000 prayer lines? Y'all know about them? What y'all know about that? It's real, though, folks. People charging for blessings. I didn't write this one down, but prayer, prophecy payments. Paying like Bernard Jordan them. I told y'all I was going to call some names. You know how Bernard Jordan them, they charge for prophecy. You know that? Y'all ever heard of Bernard Jordan? For people charging, they charge for prophecy. Can you believe that? You want to hear from the word from the Most High, they say? You want to hear a word for you, my sister? It's no different than... It's just me saying it's getting me all worked up, just thinking about this stuff. But there are people that charge for prophecies. You want to hear a word from the Most High? They'll charge you. Anyway, oh my goodness. Every time I go here, it just does something to me. Prayer cloth from Israel. Bless all. Bless oil from Israel. Holy water from Israel. Oh boy. Emotionalism taught as the bona fide spirit. In other words, people teach that when you see all this emotion, like a lot of people be shouting, they say that's spiritual. It's not. It's just, you can do a dance unto the Most High, only in line with the scripture. But when you get all emotional and saying that the spirit is moving your legs, and this Pentecostalism is full of this. Emotion, ain't nothing wrong with emotions in the church. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with doing dances to the Most High. But when you start trying to make it like this dance is the Holy Spirit and then it came over somebody, if that was the case, all of us would be dancing the same thing, because the Holy Spirit definitely is in the room and definitely does inspire this and that and the other. So the people teach that this emotionalism is a bona fide spiritual experience. That's totally wrong, y'all. Totally wrong. Anyway, good and evil behavior on TBN. The reason why I say good and evil, because there are good programming on TBN. I'm not going to sit up here and say everything on TBN is wrong. It's not true. It's not true. Not true. TVN has some wonderful programs that have set a lot of people free. So has the Word Network. So has Daystar and all the other Christian programming all across the world. Yes, they have. But man, believe me, and sister or woman, believe me, a lot of that stuff you see is straight up from the other side, from the world. They don't have nothing to do with the Most High. Some of that is greed. Some of that, a lot of it is flesh. Some of it is racism, which is a form of the flesh. Some of it is deception. Some of it is ignorance. But a lot of it is not of the Most High. And we need to call this stuff out. So all there is to it, people don't want to touch the sacred cow. They don't want to touch TVN because they feel like the Most High has his hand on that network and we're going to be struck dead or Daystar, a lot of these Word Network, they don't want to talk about this. But Brother Seth will, because I know that the Most High is not in a lot of this and that he is not going to curse me for speaking out. He's going to bless me because I've been charged to do just that, to speak out on things like this. Anyway, Sunday morning is still the most segregated time in the United States. Racism is alive and well. Racism is alive and well. Again, racism in the church is alive and well. Yes, it's strong among our white brothers and sisters because they profit from it. It's also in the black church. The powerful religious right wing. What about them people? They put presidents in office, at least they did for George Bush. And their racism. They are just as racist as they come. The church's greed, listen to this. The church's greed, stopping the truth from being taught. Y'all know that's what a lot of these churches do. They are afraid to tell the kind of truth that we talk about here and other people talk about in a lot of other blogs and other parts, because they can't. A lot of churches ain't going to have a lot of the conversations we have on these blogs. And a lot of these conversations we have on these blogs and other places is very much in line with the Word of the Most High. Just like we're talking about here tonight, how come a lot of these churches don't address some of the stuff we're going to be talking about? Because it run off people. And when you run all people, those people are connected with dollars. And it's all about greed. Churches greed, stopping the truth from being taught. How about this one? Fearful, closed-minded teachings that keep the universal church crawling when it should be putting the world to shame in every arena. I'm going to say that one again. Fearful, closed-minded teachings by the church, that is, that keep the universal church, that's globally, crawling when it should be putting the world to shame in every area. There's a lot of teachings going on that this is wrong, that's wrong. That's, you know, they tell you all these things to scare you, but you won't get into it. But most of the stuff they be knocking, they just don't have no knowledge of it. It's just they don't want you departing from the faith, and they just say stuff out of fear because they think you're going to end up not believing in the Messiah or the Father. And so they just lie and say, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. Everything about African culture for sure is wrong. They went over and told those missionaries took a new gospel to Africa. Well, it wasn't a new gospel because Africa already had the gospel before. Missionaries even thought about doing that. But I'm just saying they began to go over to Africa and tell them everything about African culture was wrong. I'm just picking one continent, but they did that everywhere they went. So pastors gone wild. Pastors gone wild. Have they gone wild? Do y'all feel me on that? Do you think I'm just picking on the brothers and sisters, or you think I'm just being a little hard on them? Have they gone wild? Have they gone wild? I believe they have. I believe they have. Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, you don't have to turn. But Hebrews 13 and 7. I want everybody to turn to that, please. If you have your Bibles, you don't have to, but I'll read it out for you. Hebrews 13 and 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of the Most High, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Goes on to say in verse 8, "But the Messiah, the same yesterday, today, and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacles. For the body of these," let me just hold on, I didn't want to read that much. Mainly what I was trying to concentrate on, because this is getting into, mainly what I was trying to concentrate on is verse 13 and 7. I just always don't like to read just one verse. But the main verse I wanted to touch on was this one. We'll read again. "Remember them which have the rule over you." Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the words of the Most High, whose faith follow. Whose faith follow. They speak to you, but then their faith follow what they've spoken, considering the end of their conversation or lifestyle. That word means pretty much lifestyle. That's Strong's 391. And that word conversation is going to be like your lifestyle, okay? And, I'm going to get into the Hebrew of that, but let me just move on. And then verse number 8, we're reading from Hebrews 13. And now verse number 8 says, "The Messiah the same yesterday, today, and forever." Okay? Now, and then we'll read verse 9 says, "Be not carried away about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Basically, what I wanted to share, and we'll read some other scriptures, but basically what I wanted to share tonight is I want us to really look at these churches, and I want us to really come up under the spell of these ministers. I know in my life, in my personal life, it's really hard to go into these services, a lot of these churches with this very humongous following. And you see these big edifice churches automatically when you walk into something that big with that many people in it, it's a very loud message implied. And that is that what you're about to hear from the leader of this huge assembly has to be from the Most High. Else, how many people would come to hear if they didn't have a word from the Most High? We in America, and probably in the world, is very brainwashed that if something is big, it must be of the Most High. That's the way Americans think. That's the way we're raised. If something is huge, it must be from the Most High. And when we walk into these churches, we feel, I know I do, I'm going to speak for myself, but I often feel the first thing you feel is you can go there, like somebody was telling me the other day, well, when you go to these churches, you should be going to get something from the church, not looking at, this, that, and the other. But, folks, we're not stupid. We're very spiritual beings. We're very emotional beings. We have a soul. We have a mind. We have memory. We have previous experiences. We're not stupid. And we see what's going on. And I know what I'm about to share to be true because I've spoken to lots of people that feel the same way. When you walk in a lot of these charismatic churches, everybody's looking like $1 million. Nobody want to look anything less than $1 million. You often feel like you have to exchange business cards with them or you're not going to be accepted. Now, somebody may say, well, if you had a business card, you wouldn't be intimidated by that. But it's just a spirit in the atmosphere of a lot of these large churches that you've got to be some businessman, and they don't say anything bad to you to your face, or they don't. What's the word I'm looking for? What's the phrase I'm looking for? They don't disrespect you like out openly, but it's just an invisible implication that's there. When you meet people, I'm so and so apostle, so and so pastor, so and so. Our teacher's over here, or I'm apostle, I'm a bishop. And if you're just John, which I like to just be known as Brother Seth, yes, I've been called to preach, and I can throw it out there, call me minister, that it's a minister. I can say that. I really can, honest. I mean, it's been prophecies when I was a child very many times that I would, the Most High had that calling upon my life. So before I even had the brain to even accept it, it was already put out there and prophesied. So I'm not one of those people that decided I'm going to go preach somewhere. I mean, this thing is set in motion before I even know what preaching is good. So I can go with the best of them, but I don't. I want to be called just Brother Seth. But some of these people will pop out a card, the apostle, evangelist, teacher on it, and they look to get a card in exchange. They'll talk about their people, and they look for you to talk about your people. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Other y'all think I'm hating, but I promise the last thing I'll be doing is hating. I love the church. I love the church. You know, this brother is not about to bash on no church. Y'all might as well go to the next blog next door because it ain't going to happen. I'm talking about the wolves in the church tonight. I'm talking about purifying this church tonight. I'm talking about encouraging the real church tonight. I'm talking about strengthening the real church tonight. I'm talking about long live the real church. But we're talking about these pimps. We talk about these crooked people. We talk about folks that have authentic spiritual gifts where they can see into some realms that will scare the heck out of some of y'all. I mean, they are real. They have bona fide real gifts. But guess what? They might just not have a bona fide real heart after the Most High. And if you don't know that there are people with these kind of gifts, and you walking around here half-cocked talking about this stuff ain't real, that the gifts of the Spirit is not real, you don't believe in discerning the spirits, you think that's, oh, ha, 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 that's just, you guys believe too much in the Bible, like one brother told me. You know, if you just kind of blowing this stuff off and you don't believe in the working of miracles and you don't believe in a word of knowledge and you don't believe in a word of wisdom and you don't believe in tongues and you don't believe in angels and you don't believe in demons, you just believe in whatever you can see, taste, touch, and smell. You're one of them simple people. And you run into somebody and they look at you and they ask for your hand and they get that look and they pray over you and they open up and they call you by your name and you somewhere driving between Alabama, you don't know nobody. There's a perfect stranger walk up to you and tell you everything about yourself. And you're going to sit there and try to say it ain't real. No, you're going to be taken like everybody else. Some of these people, they have their gift, I'm telling you. Go ask the Most High why. I don't know why. I'm just letting you know. I promise you it's real. That's why we can't go by gifts. We can't go by how many people have the ability to speak to dead people or to see this or to see that or whether or not they see angels or whatever. That's why Christ told us you'll know them by their love. You know them by their love. You know them by their love. You know them by their love. People want to make it spooky. People want to make it complicated. But you'll know them by their love. That's what's hard. Loving people is what's hard. Loving people is what requires a sacrifice. I mean, to be concerned about people and follow up and how you need something and checking on them and staying with it and every day getting up and serving and bowing your knee, humbling yourself and serving people. Now, that right there is the greatest miracle probably on our planet, loving people. Now, the Messiah said, this is how you're going to gauge his disciples. Because if you start looking at miracles, oh, my goodness, you're going to be taken. I'm telling y'all, all this stuff y'all see is not phony. There are people that's got some game for you. You think you know game in the street? It can't touch the game in the pulpit. I promise you, it cannot touch the game in the pulpit. These people got something for you. You just cannot. The Bible says it like this. Unless the Most High shorten the time, even the elect, the wisest of the wisest of the wisest of us would be fooled. Think about who is the wisest of the wisest of us. Who is the smartest of us? Who is the greatest mind spiritually on the planet? Who are they? Whoever they are, whoever you think they are, they can be fooled. These people, you can't. No need of y'all listening saying, "Well, I'm gonna just want to arm myself so I'll know when they come." It ain't even like that. They too slick. You can't listen to the scripture. I want to find the scripture here. Somebody gotta help me out here. It says that unless the Most High shorten the time, that even the smartest of us would be taken. Unless he shortened the time, even the wisest of us will be taken, tricked. So tonight we're talking about pastors, and really we can add to that apostles, evangelists, teachers gone wild. Everybody is building their name. Are you building your name? Do you have a blog just to build your name for the sake of your name and just to be known? Do you have a church where you're building your name just for the sake? Are you a businessman in disguise? You call yourself apostle or this or that or the other, but you're a businessman, an unsuccessful businessman, and you found your new, you found a church, a new, just a new venture for you. That's what we have. A lot of businessmen turn preachers. I have no problem with businessmen. I wish them well, every single one of them, as long as they're doing what's right and not ripping people off. However, that is totally different from a pastor and somebody with a pastor's heart. Somebody that's looking after sheep and really would leave the 99 to go get the one that the Bible talks about. It talks about in the New Testament how that Christ is the good shepherd, who he would leave 99 and go and after the one. You don't have very many people like that. I want y'all to listen to me tonight. This ain't about, I'm just sharing with you as best I can. I'm about to share with y'all some of the experiences I've had. And I'm telling you, you can say whatever you want to say. There is nowhere in the world you could outsmart these people. These people on another level. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to threaten you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm saying there is some folk that can walk up to you and tell you everything about yourself because they have that. They are seers. They're seers. Some of them follow the Most High, give him glory for that gift. And some of them have the gift, but they don't follow the Most High. I'm telling you. So how do you not be tricked? Well, you have to follow the lamb, follow the shepherd wherever you go. You have to have a servant's heart. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You have to humble yourself, folks. I know a lot of y'all like Blog Talk, and we like listening to the different bloggers, and a lot of these brothers out here are sharp as a tack. They got a lot of things to say. A lot of these sisters are just as sharp. And it's a lot of people, a lot of truth is going forth on Blog Talk. That's what I like about this little, this website, this venue, this voice, this platform. I like it. But you got to be very, very careful. Some people like learning for the sake of learning. They have no desire whatsoever to strengthen their relationship with the Most High. They don't even believe in the Most High. And, you know, I'm not trying to play Mr. Judge. I'm not trying to be the judge and the jury tonight. I'm just saying, y'all, these pastors are out of control. Ministers are out of control. The church is out of control. And I mean that in a very loving as I can make it. I'm telling y'all, we need to really look at things. What about these $10 lines? Y'all know that there are people that say, I got a word for you. I want everybody that want a financial blessing, get $10 in your hand, and I want a line right here. And then after that, they'll say, I want somebody who just want a double portion of God's blessing. We want a $20 line. Do you realize there are people that actually do that? Now, some of y'all are saying, what? But some of y'all are saying, well, I just left a service last night like that. I mean, it's people really doing this. $10 line, $20 line, $100 line, $1,000 line. And, I mean, there are people that think that the kingdom is like an investment company. And it is to some degree. But you can't dictate to the Most High what kind of return you're going to get. Yes, the Bible talks about the sower going out to sow. The kingdom is like a sower going out to sow seed, and it falls upon good ground and stony ground and by the wayside. And it, later on, the scriptures talk about how that, you know, that the reapers receive 36 and 100 fold. Yes, that's true. But you can't just sow $1,000 sacrificial blessing and expect the Most High to just bless you and just, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. What if you have a thieving kind of lifestyle? What if you're a thief? Not a thief that go around stealing purses, but what if you're one of those persons that take all the time and you got to reap that harvest coming? Now you're going to go to church and try to give your way out of that by giving $1,000. You think the Most High is going to bless you with $10,000 or $100,000, but yet your lifestyle is that of a thief. You take from so many people. How would the Most High look giving you $10,000 because you sold it to... Oh, boy. Let me slow down. Let me slow down. Okay, somebody want to comment? Area code 708, 903. I'm sorry to catch you in at first, but I've got you on the line. Go ahead. Did you want to comment? Hello? 708-903. Someone have a comment at 708-903? I think what it is, somebody here at this phone had a comment, and I didn't answer long enough, and they went to the back room and talking to somebody else. Well, hopefully they'll join us back here. I apologize. Folks, y'all got to give me patience. That time, I know I took a long time before I looked at that phone line. It's my fault. But anyway, like I said, people, there are a lot of people that are that is fall prey to this. I mean, my own family member, I'm not going to call out no names just in case they're listening to the show, and I don't want them calling me later on and say, you call my name. But, I mean, we talking about folks in my own family that have been fooled and that have gotten a bunch of these $10, $20, $100 prayer lines thinking they can give their way out of poverty. Now, yes, you can give your way out of poverty, but you don't give for the sake of just receiving. You give because you really care about people. Remember, it goes back to the love thing. You give because you love people. You give because you care about people. And when you give to them, it comes back. But you don't know how it's going to come back. The Most High determines all that. That's a universal law. You can't tamper with that. The Most High is not like some investment company. He's actually better. Because if your character is not up to par, you're going to suffer your due. You're going to pay your due. But let's talk about these $10 prayer lines and these $100 prayer lines and these $1,000 prayer lines, and let's talk about these sacrificial offerings, and let's talk about giving out of famine, which is one minister's very popular message of giving in famine. Can you give in famine? Of course. In the Old Testament, there was the widow's. There was the Elijah, the prophet. There was the woman that gave all she had, the last meal she had. Prophet asked her to give it to him instead of her and her son eating it. And people like to use that story and rake up billions. Billions. I'm not talking about one minister. I'm talking about the collective church now. A lot of these people together, all of these people I'm talking about, these wolves in sheep clothing, I'm sure it would be billions if they kept a number. Lots and lots of families have listened to this story of the prophet taking this widow's last supper, last meal, and of course she was blessed and her cupboard was full and all this stuff. But you can't use that story to get people to give the last of the last they got and tell them exactly what is going to happen. You can tell them to give out of famine. Yes, you can. And yes, they probably should sometimes. I'm not saying on every, if you're at your lowest and you don't have but a little to go and bless somebody with that. I'm not knocking that at all. And I do tell you this, if you do that, Most High will bless you. But I can't say what he's going to do, how he's going to bless you. He's the Most High. He's looking at all kinds of things in your life before he bless you. You may sow something small and get 30 times the blessing, 60 times I don't know who's sowing and what their heart is like when they give. And so we see these people stand up in these prayer lines, giving 1,000, giving 100, giving 50 or whatever, 20. And we hear them being told that you're going to be blessed 10 times this. The Most High is going to give you 10 times this, or sometimes 100 times this. How can you really tell a person that, unless the Most High person to tell you, say this to that person? And then when that minister is gone next week, y'all know where I'm going with this. What happens to those people? Y'all know the story. 90% of the time, because I'm going to always leave a little 10% available open, because some people may actually do it the right way and the Most High may bless them. But I'm saying I say 90% of the people I've seen do that, they just end up the next week with, you know, depends on their faith. That's a whole nother thing. Sometimes it's all faith. Faith brings things all by itself, and it don't. You can get something based upon your faith. Y'all listen, please hear me out. You can get something by your faith that the Most High don't have nothing to do with. I mean, for real, for real. You can get things on simply believing and receiving it and seeing yourself with it. This is a universal law that's not privy to just church folks. And people, when this thing happens, when this universal law happens, and they are able to attract certain things, they say that's God. Well, is it? You can have faith for stuff that you don't even need. You can have belief and faith for things that's going to destroy you. And you'll get it. Is that the Most High? Remember what Christ said to the woman, thy faith have made thee whole. But then he said he felt virtue leave his body. Now that was sometimes somebody had faith, but that blessing came from the Most High. Anyway, let's talk about some other things here. Let's talk about why is all of a sudden every church need to build? Come on, y'all. Somebody got to feel me on this. Why is every church building? Every single church, why? It seems, I know somebody said, well, not my church. Okay, maybe not your church. But I'm saying, why is every single church building something? What happened? I'm not saying we need to be poor or nothing like that, but I'm not so sure just because we got these big Walmart-looking churches, and y'all, please know I'm not hating. If these churches is really saving souls and people are really getting delivered from whatever they are addicted to, and they're getting good health versus bad health, and they're hearing things in these churches that really lift their spirit and keep them lifting up, no phony fake peace stuff. I'm talking about real, real life peace. I mean, they're really being blessed. You see them 20, 30 years later, and they just look like they haven't aged a bit because they've been following the precepts and concepts taught at this particular church. They should be a Walmart-sized church. Should be. They should have all their bills paid. They should have their property and land and everything paid off. I don't have no problem with that. But what I do have a problem with is, how is everybody doing it? How is everybody doing it? And then they put the burden of all these finances on people and put all these guilt trips on people, saying little things like, you know, you're not one believing God and y'all not investing. And they just, you mean, some of these churches is better than others. They take up one offering, they fine. But some of these churches, very obvious, they're over their budget. They way over what they can afford. They have few members. I remember I was a part of this church, and it was a Church of God in Christ, Rolling Hills Church of God in Christ on Riverside Drive. Yeah, I'll call names because I was a part of it. I actually know this. And I remember the year that I was there, Pastor Jordan and his wife, no hatred for them, love them. I'm sure they probably meant well. They were just doing what everybody else was doing. They had something called a pastor and wife anniversary. These people that year, don't y'all listen to me, these people that year, they had, I bet you they had every bit of maybe 40 members, maybe more, maybe 50. But I'm talking about active folk that come, probably about 40. They raised over $20,000. Now, you might say, well, that's okay, Brother Seth, long as they can afford that. And why are you hating on that? I'm not hating. I'm just saying you got to know who was given. You got to know how they was given. You know the Church of God in Christ, they call out when you give stuff. So you know what everybody is given. You need to know, my sister, my brother, how they gave. There was old people probably living on the only income they had, Social Security. I mean, they was up there in age. And they gave probably more than anybody. And I mean, some of these people, they just love their pastor. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing when you got people that love you and just want to bless you. They just trying to bless somebody that has been a blessing to them. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But at some point, you got to say to people, you know what? I don't need $20,000 taken up over, you know, a couple of weeks or something. I know it took like 3 weeks for them to raise it or something like that. I'll say a month because they talked about it for like a month. 20 grand. Some of y'all ain't know exactly what I'm talking about because y'all was raised up in the Church of God in Christ. You're familiar with it. But anyway, folks, what I'm saying is the Most High, that is not, it don't take a whole lot of common sense. Now, all you got to do is take that same church, take them across town, make the congregation predominantly white, and try that there. You'll see how ludicrous it is. And if you have a large church and you have a large budget and there's a lot of things going on in that church, okay, fine. But 20 grand, over 20 grand, I forget what the exact number was. I know it was 20-something. You're giving it to somebody because of a passing wife anniversary. Anyway, and we're talking about a congregation of like 40, not 400, 40. And these are poor people. This is inner city. Well, no, I take it back. It's not inner city, but it wasn't in a ritzy area of town, but it wasn't in a hood. Okay? Keep it all correct. But what about these pastors and wives anniversary that the Church of God in Christ have and a lot of other organizations, Baptists have? You know, in a lot of the black community, I've been told this by so many ministers, that black people actually give more than white people. This is a trip. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. White people have more money. They have more money collectively as a people than our people in the states I'm talking about. But black people give more in terms of what they have, a ratio, whatever they make, they give more. Like I say, $20,000 with 40 people, that's crazy. But I hear these pastor and wife anniversaries that these little Baptist churches have and these little Pentecostal, and I do mean little churches, they're the ones that I'm talking about mainly. These people are off the charts with how much, and they're raping people, playing mind tricks on games, guilt trips on people, calling their offering out. Sister so-and-so, $100. Sister so-and-so, $200. Brother so-and-so, $50. Brother so-and-so, and it puts pressure on people to give, and then you find yourself not giving because you love them, but you're giving out of need and necessity and desperation, and the Bible clearly tells us don't give in that manner. Folks, this is serious. We're serious tonight. We're talking about pastors, teachers, apostles gone wild. What are we going to do? What do you do? You follow the scriptures. I don't care what you see a person do gift-wise, talent-wise. I mean, you're going to see some stuff that's going to make you want to empty your pocket. If somebody walks up to you and tell you everything about your young people, everything about your husband, and you know they don't know it, and you know there's no way they could have known it because you're in a different state or something, I know what you're going to think. You're going to say, oh, my goodness, this is surely from the Most High. Wow, of course I'm going to give them. But why do they need money? If the Most High want to share with them about you, and he does that, why do they need a sacrificial offering from you before they do it or after they do it? Watch these people's heart. Be very wise. The scripture says the gifts and callings are without repentance, meaning there are a lot of people that have these gifts and operate in these callings, and having a repenting heart doesn't necessarily mean I mean, having these gifts doesn't necessarily mean that they are repentful. Okay? It don't mean that at all. These gifts come without repentance. These gifts come. These talents come. It's some people just walk around and don't ask me why, how, I don't understand, wish I did, but they just have these abilities. We all have talents, but these people have spiritual talents. You know, and a lot of them, they give the Most High credit for it. Them are the good ones. Them are the ones that are following the you're supposed to give the Most High credit. But then others don't get the Most High credit, but it's still a gift from the Most High. Some people are born with this stuff. They don't give the Most High credit. When they don't give him credit, it's like they're siding with the enemy. They should use that gift to edify and build up the kingdom. Let's talk about some other scams real quick. Let's talk about controlling pastors for a second. Are y'all aware that the Bible gives very little scripture about what pastors can and cannot do to their flock? Very little scripture. Very little scripture. It's not a whole lot. Most of the stuff these pastors and apostles and evangelists and teachers do in the church, I'm just going to be honest with you because I know them. I know my what I'm talking about. This right here, I know. And when I don't have any trouble with them because when I come at them with the kind of confidence I have and they know that I'm not twisting these scriptures, when I say things like to a pastor, there's very little scriptures that tell y'all what to do with your members. They don't say nothing to me about that because they know it's the truth. A lot of this stuff is just passed on tradition. Pastor and wife anniversary, not in the Bible. Having church on Sunday, not in the Bible. How we have church, not in the Bible. I mean, I don't think it's wrong to have church, you know. I don't think it's bad to worship on any day. You can worship every day. But I mean, when people say, well, this is the day you worship, I have trouble with that. I have trouble with that. What I'm saying is we do a lot of things in these buildings that we don't have scripture backings for. We just do them because mama did it. Grandma did it, grandpa did it, and we just passed these traditions down. But a lot of this stuff you see in churches, a lot of this stuff you see in large organizations, a lot of this stuff you see in these crusades, I'm telling you, it has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible, especially where it relates to money. I don't know if y'all feeling me tonight, but I know one thing, I'm feeling myself. I'm telling y'all, this right here is the real deal. This is something I've lived. It ain't something I'm making up. It ain't something I'm doing to just get some people to listen. I'm not that desperate. But I'm telling y'all, we got to be very much aware because a lot of our brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles is a part of this foolishness, and they're being deceived and they're being robbed and they're being tricked. And we have got to be there to say to them, listen, mama, sister, brother, uncle, auntie, and sometimes it's ourselves, what are you doing? You don't have to give that person, you know. And it's not just about money. You know, I'm talking a lot about money, but some of this, when we talk about control, one of the things I mentioned in the program description is control, men pastors controlling, and I said they controlling so much they push real men out of the church. I'm going to say it again. A lot of these men are so controlling, they push real men out of the church. What I mean by that is a lot of these pastors is so out of control, running everything. You can't be no pastor, teacher, apostle, board, chief board member. It's too much. Again, where are we getting the scripture basis for this man, this leader, to be everything and everybody in these churches? Again, this is nothing more, a lot of times, than businessmen who have turned pastors. People that should be running corporations, sitting up in these churches, running folks' lives, and they don't have a pastor's heart. They have a businessman heart, though. But where are they getting that from? where we get this from that you can't go fellowship at other churches, you got to check in with your pastor. That's a big one. I know some of y'all are saying, what is that? I never heard that, because some of y'all, you're not in church like that. And you're like, you just don't get it because that's not your life. But I'm telling you, there are people that know what I'm talking about. There's lots of folks that feel me on this very much so. There's a lot of folks who are in bondage at a place where they should be free, and that's at their local church. They are slaves in their mind, in their spirit, and the Most High have declared them free. So we got to look and say, the pastor says this is a scripture. The pastor says that is a scripture. We got to challenge everything we see in a loving way. Not don't want to be no goat, but at the same time, you don't want to be gullible. You know, and I mean, I've known some ministers and pastors to do some things that I'm not going to even go into tonight, because I'm not here to just blast every single pastor or every single time somebody made a mistake. But I'm telling y'all, these people control our communities. These institutions called the church control. They are the biggest stumbling block to African Americans. They are the number one problem with not just African Americans, but with the world, with the progress of the world. I think the church is the biggest enemy to the world's population. The church, not the real church now, not the real saints now, not the real believers, not the real seekers, but these folk in the churches that's saying they are, that's not tuned to the Most High, and that's greedy. And because they're greedy and can't get enough money, they become deceptive. Talking about pastors and teachers, apostles, bishops, even popes, nuns, I'm talking about the church, those people that call themselves the church, not the true church. So, folks, listen, these pastors, a lot of the things that they are saying, doing, they have no grounds for it. I mean, no grounds for it. So what Brother Seth is doing tonight, again, we'll talk about, very simply, pastors gone wild, prophecies, prophets, teachers, people calling out folks and very aggressively giving them a word, sometimes whether they want it or not, and scaring them and using scare tactics. God is going to do this to you. God is going to do that to you. Whoa, 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 trying to scare you into submitting to them. Sometimes it's not about money. Some people just want to control you. They want to control your family. They want to control your children. They want you at their church because they want to control you. If you listen to them with your ears and think with your brain and not think that you don't know some things, because you do know some things. The Bible says you have an unction from the Spirit and need not that any man should teach you. You know that what I'm saying in your deepest heart of hearts is right. But it's like so many people are following these people. They may be pastors of, you know, 12, 13,000 people, and everybody's doing it. And you feel like, well, surely I'm not right because everybody's following the pastor. So you feel like they're right. A lot of this stuff is not right. I don't care who, how many, because there's thousands that'll disagree with them, just like there's thousands that you're looking at your church that's following these people. You know, everybody's excited when the pastor mentions some new project, some new thing that's going to cost more money than the church really can afford. Everybody get excited about it. I knew a pastor, and I'm not going to call his name. This pastor, I won't call his name because just personal feelings, you know, is a very sad situation for one. I don't want his family to run up on his blog and be hurt by my words. But this happened in Fort Worth, Texas. There was a pastor. That pastor, very successful and at this particular church, and he got a word from a prophet that called him out at this convention and basically said to him, you are a man and you have a coward spirit, something to the effect of you're a coward or you have a coward spirit. You know, you're not trusting God. And it was a very hard word for this pastor who we felt like was doing a good job at this smaller church but efficient church. So this pastor took this word to mean you need to be more aggressive and think bigger. So he was already on a plan, told the church they was going to pay off this building, they're going to go buy this little bit of land. They had all mapped out what they was going to do to enlarge this ministry. Well, when he got this prophecy told to him that you are a coward, you have a coward spirit, you're fearful, you don't trust the Most High, blah, 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 something to that effect, he ended up going after a church that was like four times bigger, probably five times bigger than this church, probably eight times bigger. You can take this church and sit it off inside of this other church. Make the long story short, he went up to these people. They was trying to get out of this church. I was going to mention some other names, but I'm not going to mention anybody's name in this situation. The big church was looking to downsize, and the small church was looking to upsize. So they switched churches. I know y'all don't believe what I just said, but they surely did switch churches. So the big church took the smaller church, and the smaller church took on all of the responsibilities of this much, much larger church. Make the long story short, very long, long story short. I'm not trying to, those of y'all who know who I'm talking about, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just sharing about deception tonight. So this pastor took on this church, and his church was hell. Had all kind of problems with the roof and this, that, and the other. Make the long story short, that pastor was in the hospital very quickly from stress over this whole situation. Because he took this building, and the building was not good. The building was wrong. They had signed a contract. The building had faulty roofs, and there's nothing they could do. But this pastor was so hurt that this church, these church officials had lied to him and told him this building was in good condition, blah, blah, blah. Makes a long story short, he went back to these people, and he said, listen, y'all was not fair. And this church, embarrassingly, can you know, imagine how embarrassing it is to tell everybody you done moved into a large church, put out flyers, invited all type of key people to your large edifice, and now you got to move back to your small edifice? I think this was like a year or two later. This was embarrassing. That was, of course, more stressful on this same pastor when he moved back into that building shortly after he died. That prophecy actually tempted that pastor into worrying it, and he did worry, did stress out, and it killed him. Folks, listen to me. This is very, very serious. Now, some of y'all might say, "Well, I'm not no minister. I can't identify with that. What does that have to do with me?" Some of y'all go to these churches, and you do listen to these people, and ain't no wrong with listening to them. I'm not even nothing wrong with loving their gift, like you're listening to me right now. Nothing wrong with y'all agreeing with Brother Seth and loving Brother Seth, and nothing wrong if you want to send something my way in terms of support. That ain't what I'm talking about. But when somebody saw prophesying, getting in your ear, saying God said, you know, that caused more pain than any other two words in the whole English or any language. God said. God said, you know how much hell people suffer from God said? You know how many people have low self-esteem because they felt like God said something that he didn't say? You know how many people have moved from state to state on those two words, God said? You know how many people have changed their whole career and their whole calling, and that had changed their personality based upon those two words, God said? You know how many children have been abused because some man no longer take care of his family because he's moving off what God said? You know how many wives are abused and neglected because of their husband saying, God said. You know, I mean, husbands have been not supported and neglected because the woman felt like God said. Them two words cause more pain than any words I can think of. Folks, listen to me tonight. We got to be very careful with folks in our ear tone by God said. We got to be very careful when we see. Let me just talk about TBN and Daystar and a lot of these Christian networks, because a lot of us listen to them. I mean, I listen to them every once in a while. But let me tell y'all something. It is just as dangerous to listen to somebody on the street. Y'all know that's dangerous, to listen to these so-called parking lot prophets. Y'all know that's dangerous. Everybody know that. They can't alert and they don't listen to anybody. But that's just as dangerous as TBN and Daystar, because these people have lights, cameras, action, folks, emotionalism, crowd hysteria. I think that's the word they use when crowd just gets wild. And then all these people, all these lights and cameras validate these folks before they even open up their mouth. And you automatically assume that what they're saying surely is right, because these people wouldn't be acting like this and testifying. This man is waving his hand and all these people going out. Surely, if this man waves his hand and everybody falls out, surely there has to be the Holy Spirit. Surely. Let me tell you, when Benny Hinn is operating on the Holy Spirit, when he tells everybody to close your eyes, then wave his hand, and they go out. I can hear some people laughing at that one. But this man that waves his hand, everybody just falls out. They're all looking, and they see people fall out in front of him, and they see when his hand come over him, and they feel like, okay, here comes his hand, and woo. No, close your eyes. If it's the true power, it don't matter when his hand. Folks, come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on. The man has it, he just have it. He just have it. If it's real, it's just real. And I do believe that can happen while you're playing, thinking I'm knocking folk. I really do believe that can happen, but I don't believe in what Benny Hinn is doing. Some of y'all done fell out in Benny Hinn's crusades. Did it change you? I mean, be real, honest. What did it change? Please call me and let me know. Am I saying you're a false prophet? I ain't even saying all that. I'm not even going there tonight. I could, but I'm not going there. I'm just saying some of these things we need to just think about. We just need to just sit down, think long and hard about. It's not that complicated. We need to just think long and hard about what we're saying, what we're seeing. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I haven't been looking in the chat room much, but I hope that y'all are listening. I really want to thank y'all for stopping by. And I guess y'all are really listening, because normally the chat room is not this quiet. I'm probably saying some things y'all not used to hearing me talk about. But I'm telling you, I got family members that is under the spell. And no matter what you tell them, they're not going to hear what you're saying. They believe, and they pastor. They believe, and they church. They ain't going nowhere. And that's okay. If their pastor is following the true example, if their pastor is sold out to the work of the Most High, hey, follow him. But I'm telling you, folks, you can never, ever sell me. You can never, ever sell me on $100 line, $50 lines. You can never tell me that the Most High has called these people and told these people to pay for prophecies, to pay for, to invest in their ministry, that they might get a double, a hundredfold, or you can say, please give to the ministry. We need help. You can always do that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you can't go telling people what the Most High is going to determine was going to bless them when they do give. You just don't know. You don't know the heart of that person. That may be a person that's giving you the most money and have the think they're better than everybody else and think they, you know, giving. I remember, I don't even want to go there, but trust me, I don't think some people give, and I don't care. I've seen people give thousands of dollars, and they had a look on their face like, I'm going to go ahead and give this so y'all can quit taking up this offering. And they just was gave out of just fear, frustration out of the whole thing. They hard one anyway. So, folks, listen. There's so much more. There's so much more we can talk about. I want to just kind of revisit. Let me revisit a few more things here. I mentioned in the program description, I talked about fake peace. Fake peace. There are a lot of people that go to church and they do believe in the Most High. And just simply knowing that He lives, just simply trusting Him, knowing He's in your life and He's doing things in your life, there is a peace that comes with that. But it don't mean that we always walk in obedience in our personal life. And so when we are disobedient, we walk in sin, we suffer. We're supposed to suffer. We're not walking in obedience. But these ministers that I'm talking about, these wolves, have a way of getting you emotional. A lot of our women getting them very emotional through song, through choirs, through concerts, through a lot of shouting, and these women don't understand that that's emotionalism. That's not spiritual. To be shouting and you can't control yourself, the spirit is always subject to the prophet. That's what the Bible says. The spirit is subject unto the prophet, which means no matter how much the spirit moves, it's always subject to the will of man. If you can't control yourself, honey, it was so good, I just couldn't control myself. That's not the Most High. It's not the Father. Honey, I just couldn't stop. That's not the Father. Honey, I just had to. That's not the Father. The Spirit that moves in you is subject unto you, the prophet. We have control of ourselves. No matter what we feel. Now, if you want to just shout because you just got the victory, it's a sacrifice. It's a dance of honor. It's like raising your hand and saying, thank you, Father. That's what shouting is. You do that little dance unto the Father. But you don't ever imply or say that the Holy Spirit is moving you. Emotionalism. Our churches, especially the black churches, full of emotionalism. And some people, unfortunately, think that is the spirit. And that is far from the spirit. Bible says, the anointing breaks the yoke. When the spirit comes, and it moves upon the spirit inside of you, oh, you're going to be changed. You may not even smile with your mouth, but there's going to be a joy deep inside of you that's unspeakable, as they say in the churches, that unspeakable joy. There's going to be a joy, that a peace that passes all understanding. People will see it. People will feel it, but they don't understand it. So sometimes you'll be going through hell, and you'll have this peace. That's a spiritual thing. That's not something you can get at church from shouting. It's spiritual. You can just get a word from the Most High. You can get just a word from the Most High. And it can do something to your spirit and give you peace that passes all understanding. So, what is Brother Seth talking about tonight? Pastors, apostles, evangelists, teachers that have gone wild. They're out of order. they're out of order. And I know some of y'all look for me to really pick on these people and really beat up on the church, and I'm not doing it tonight. I'm just simply sharing with you a lot of some hardcore deceptions that's taken thousands, if not millions, of people. And I know people have spent billions of dollars, or been taken for billions of dollars. And I do mean billions, because I'm talking about all of the churches that are participating and practicing in this fake activity, okay? But like we talked about earlier, fake smiles. There's a lot of people they're in pain in these churches. You know, they're struggling, and their finances is, that's why they're in those $100 lines, $50 lines, because they're suffering. And they're giving false hope. They're giving deception. Half truth. Let me talk about what I mean. What do I mean? Brother Seth, what do you mean? Be more specific. Let's talk about what are you saying going on in these churches that, you know, where you want to be more specific. A lot of these women pastors, for instance, look at the chat room here and see what we got here. I am Epic is on listening. Thank you. It's always good to see you, my sister. She types, Brother Seth, thank you. Great show tonight. I'm listening. Been across the room and haven't been able to type and join the chat, but I'm hearing you and with you in spirit. And I feel you on that. And other people said some things. But listen, let me just share this. Let me just share this with everybody tonight. There's sometimes I share stuff and it is just so heavy on me. It's like it's just easy to talk about. And then there's other shows where I have all of these notes and sometimes audio's queued up. This is a show straight from my heart. I'm telling you, we are under attack as a human race. And the enemy, of course, he's going to go through the church first and foremost. He's going to be the place you least expect, and that is going to be the church. I believe with all my heart that the church that we knew 50 years ago is gone. It's just flat out gone. I believe that the people that's in church today, not all of them, maybe not even most of them, but a lot of them, the church as we know it today, the leaders that we call our so-called leaders today, these people, even if they did have a good heart, a lot of them, even if they did have a good heart, there's so many of their friends and brothers in the faith that is so off. The consensus among the churches, the leadership is to bill. Bigger. Bigger. The bigger you are, the more powerful you are. And everybody want to call you. Everybody wants you to do this and wants you to do that. All I'm saying is, folks, there's a whole lot of things about the Bible. And on the other hand, like I mentioned earlier, the truth is in jeopardy. The truth is in prison. The truth is in bondage. We can't hear what really the Bible was saying because folks ain't going to tell you what's really the truth. They're going to tell you what's comfortable. They're going to tell you what feels good. I know some of y'all know, you probably is bored out of your mind with what I'm saying, but some people, believe me, it's new to their ears. I have these conversations all the time with people on the streets and the churches and everywhere I go, and some people, it's just, they can't see no wrong. They think the church is just totally of the Most High, is doing the right thing. Everybody needs to be a part of a church, you know, not knowing that we all are the church. You cannot, nobody can kick you out of or make you join in this church. It's a spiritual thing. Only the Most High accepts you in, and only the Most High can kick you out. We have what we call assemblies on earth where we go fellowship. We have fellowships or assemblies where we go and assemble with other brethren and sisters and talk about this Messiah and talk about the Father that sent him and talk about his laws and precepts. We assemble with different people, and, you know, we do that. We have all of these different assemblies, different family members like that, but these churches trying to say you a member, you're not a member, this, where that come from? That's a classic example right there of what I meant earlier about stuff we do that just have no scripture basis. You can never say so-and-so is one of my members, so-and-so is not one of my members. Just because they join and they shake your hand, they fill out some forms, you got their name, and you say, okay, you're now a member of this church. No, you can't membership nobody. This is some, you just have to have a building that worship the Most High, and whoever come and worship, you just live at the Most High, and they, people can come and go as they will. But you can't go claiming people, talking about my people and this and that. This is some crazy, demonic, off-the-wall, wicked things that's going on in our world, folks. And these people are controlling the minds and pocketbooks of a lot of people. Some people would have been better off taking that money and going and investing it in some on Wall Street somewhere than be putting it into these sinking ships. I'm going to say that again. I know some of y'all saying, I can't believe he said that. Surely you want the money to be in the church. Of course we want the money to be in the church. The church needs the funding and all that for different things, but not for buildings, not for businessmen turned preachers that are trying to become rich, that's trying to fulfill unfinished goals in their lives. Again, a lot of these are nothing more than failed businessmen on some new business venture. I love the Most High. I love his people. I love his truth. And I love every single one of y'all. I'm not being lovey-dovey now. I'm just being real. I have nothing on my plate but revealing who the enemy is. And the enemy is among us. The enemy have our family. It have our children. And I'm talking about the so-called church. Somebody said, well, how do you know the different from the real church or the fake church? Well, it's very simple. You'll know it by its fruit. What kind of fruit do these churches bear? Who are they really reaching? Who are they helping? I mean, really, really helping. How many people, you see them 1 year and 20 years later, they look like $1 million. They're prosperous in every area, not just one area of their life, but they have, you know, children is respectful, wives and supportive, and or they're supportive of the wife, and I mean good marriages, good business wise, income wise, just in every area of their life they should be oozing prosperity, not just physical or financial prosperity, but in every way. So folks, this is what we're talking about tonight, the true church versus this other church. These people that are setting up camp as though they're the church, but they're all about becoming wealthy and rich. They're all about becoming wealthy and rich. They're all about becoming what they failed to become as a businessman. So let me do this before I go on. And then I want to share something a little more. I will switch gears and get a little bit stronger. But just wanted to set the pace. I mean, set this up because I'm definitely not, again, trying to bash the church. All right? So let me just play a little something while I wet my voice, and I'm going to come right back and we'll finish up with some little stronger conversation. I'm sure we all can appreciate, okay? All right, let me do this. Some of y'all missed this earlier, so I'll play this. Well, should we, should we not? Should we, should we not? Here we go. Nope. That's not what we want to do. If I can stop that. Hold on one second.
In the book of Genesis, chapter 10, okay, verse 21. It speaks about the genealogy. Okay,
okay, there was, sorry about that.
Noah had three sons.
We can get it stopped. Well, you know what? I'm going to bypass on that. I was wanting to share some with you, but I'll go ahead and finish up this. This is what I want to share with y'all. Okay, check this out. In the churches, let me just go ahead and pull this up here. Okay, we talked about controlling pastors, and let's talk a little bit about women. Women preachers, women ministers, and the running off men in the church. The church, one good sign of a strong, vibrant church, and this is not a slap in the face to women, okay, but I've got to share this. When you see a church dominated by women, it's not a slap in the face to the women because they're trying. They're trying. But I'm just saying to you, men are the ones that started with the Most High before the woman was even made. There are men that led the children of Israel. The priests in Israel and the Bible were men. The holy book, the holy people in the Bible were mostly men. So when you have a temple set up to be a church, a place where you come and worship, and it's led by women, that should be the first red flag you get to run like hell. Because if something is not there where men feel comfortable, and I know people say, well, men is just knuckleheads. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to serve the Most High. They would rather be at home watching football on Sunday. Don't believe that hype. Don't believe that hype. Islam is one example. It has a lot of rules, a lot of you can't, you must, you can't, you must. And it is a religion full of men at the leadership. When you see churches and it's led by women, something is wrong. And I can tell you right now what one of them is. When you want to vote everything in church is done by a vote, and you got mostly women there, how you think the vote is going to last? How you think who's going to influence the church if you go by the democratic system? If you got a bunch of women, what is going to be the consensus? It's going to be something from the women, or a feminine approach, a feminine outlook. And this is much respect for women because they are the ones that have carried, I know it's speaking of black people, they've carried for some time, I'm not saying exclusively, but they have been a valuable part of black liberation, so-called black liberation. So I would never, ever disrespect women to say they're the problems or something. But what I'm saying is, this church tries to operate like a democracy, and church is not a democracy. Sometimes you just got to do some things, and women ain't going to like it. But it's going to be the better for the women in the long run and better for the young males coming up, and it'll get men in the church. But when you got a church led by women, and anytime men want to express themselves, they speak out against it. They're not aggressive. They don't understand warfare. I mean, I'm talking about on any kind of level. I mean, some of them. That's not everybody. I'm just saying this is how you get a church led by women. You can't have a democratic system. You got to go with what the Bible say, simple and plain, all day long. Now, I'm sure a lot of people is going to have issues with that. But all I'm saying is men love the Most High just as much as women. Why are our churches led by women? Why are our churches led by women? These young men need to be seeing things that that they need to see. These young boys, these young boys need to see men in these churches. They need to see men leading Bible studies and excited about the Most High and excited about His Word and excited about studying. They need to see men They need to see men. They need to see men. So what do these churches do then? Somebody might ask, what do these churches do? And thank you for the comment. It says here, you're speaking the truth tonight, Brother Seth. We need this information. I surely do. To feed our mental being so we can use our discernment through this journey and have less derails. So I appreciate that. But what I'm saying is, folks, these women is out of control. And of course, the man is out of control. They're not even in church, so for sure they're out of control. But I think what has happened with our churches, and I went to a church that even though they had male pastors, it was very feminine. As a matter of fact, I got a rude awakening one time. I'm not going to go off into all the details on this, but somebody had pointed out something very feminine that I was doing as an adult male, and I had no clue. I had no clue. I was just, I'll tell you what it was. It was the way I was laughing. And it's been some years back, but I still remember it like yesterday because I was so macho and couldn't believe that I was doing that. But they were showing me body language on how I would be laughing. And, of course, I don't laugh that way no more. But because I was so embarrassed and really kind of devastated that I had these gestures and body languages. But a lot of our men have these feminine habits. Even the way they tackle their problems, that's when you really see the feminine behavior because they're raised by women. Ain't nothing wrong with women. We need women. Of course we need women. What I'm saying is when you have a church led by women, it's not the women's fault. I hope y'all feeling me on this. I'm just saying there's something wrong with the doctrine, something wrong with the leadership, something wrong with what they're doing. When men come to church, men are leaders. They lead their homes. So if they're in a church, the first thing I think people need to do is put them, not necessarily leading because they're new to church. They may not even be even persuaded by the things of the Most High, but find something for those men to do for them to be in charge. That's just their nature. And women, on the other hand, just to throw them in charge, and they're used to supporting men in a lot of cases, not all women, I'm not trying to stereotype, but I'm saying a lot of them do like to support, you know, and they should be put in those positions, something where they can support. I'm just saying, if you don't do this, folks, you're going to look up and you're going to run off every male that comes in a church. And your young boys is the biggest problem. We're talking about pastors gone wild. How they have fought with this? Very simple. Because these pastors are letting these women run the church, sometimes by votes, sometimes by, you know, senior people in certain women saying, I feel like this should happen, that should happen. And of course, you want to hear from your sisters and say, hey, how do you feel? Of course you want to do it. You never want to ignore them. What I'm saying is women can't help being women. That's what they are. They're 100% women. They're going to be women. They can't help that. I said they can't help that. So what I'm saying is tonight, folks, please hear me out tonight. What I'm saying is men need responsibility. And if pastors are intimidated by that, because some of these pastors have gone wild, and they are intimidated by the presence of another man, they are scared of another man that's responsible, that's knowledgeable, that's smart, and they will run because, again, they've been raised by a lot of women, and they have these feminine characteristics. And I'm not saying to be soft is to be a woman. Y'all, please help me out tonight. I'm not saying all that. I'm saying, yeah, women have a certain way of dealing with adversary, with problems, and it's a beautiful thing what they do. They slick. They have their little ways, and that's women. But the way they do things and the way men do things, it should be clearly two different ways. And when you see men acting like that, it don't look good. It is not right. It's not. Women get things done. They have a peace about them. Some of them, they have a slick way. And sometimes I think women. Sometimes I think women is actually smarter than men. I'm for sure wiser than men, because they can get things done with a whole lot of the, without the ego going on back and forth. They are very, very wise. And like I say, it's always an exception to the rule. But I'm just saying, most of the women I meet, they have their ways to doing things. And when you see pastors operating like women and scared to meet with other men and scared to allowing them to go and have their own, thing that they run in the church, a lot of these pastors want to be head this, head that. They want to rule this, they want to rule that. And that's what happened. These men come into church and they see these pastors looking like pimps. That's what happened when a man is doing too much in the church. He looks like a pimp. And they see their wives going there, and they have this secret bitterness against these men, and they just don't go back. They don't go to church. And some of these men, anyway. So we're talking about pastors going wild. Pastors, ministers, teachers, apostles going wild. I've talked about gifts of the Spirit. You can't trust people's gifts. Can't trust people operating and giving words and knowledge and giving prophecies. You can't trust any of that stuff. I don't care what they say out of their mouth. I don't care if they say what your name is, what your social security number is. You cannot trust that. You really can't trust that. You are wasting your time, and you're wasting your money by giving to someone like that. If they try to prostitute the gift by asking you for money, they're prostituting the gift. You cannot support ministries like that. I don't care what they tell you, okay? They are prostituting the gift, simple and plain, all day long, okay? And I'm trying to go so soft on the church, but I want to cut this thing fair, because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm just totally against the church. And because that is a lie. I'm not totally against the church. I'm totally for the church. But we got a lot of things going on. A lot of our older people, especially, some of y'all need to speak up for them. You say, well, none of this happened to me, Brother Seth. I don't know what you're talking about tonight, because I don't experience none of this. I don't even go to church so much. Yeah, but do your mother, brothers, sisters, brothers, do they go? Are they carried away with every wind of doctrine these people talk about? Are they at these churches where they can't learn about the true history of the Bible because the pastor don't want a church split? He's fearing that the church is going to leave him and take their dollars with him, so he won't preach what's truly going on. Some of y'all are missing out on what the Most High is doing in these last days with his people, because you somewhere at a church where they're scared to teach things, they're scared to talk about the New World Order, they're scared to talk about Skull and Bones and what's going on in these secret societies and what this New World Order is trying to do on the planet. Your pastor is scared to death to talk about stuff like that. They don't want to talk about who are the real Jews and why does that matter and what does that have to do with prophecy. And So some of y'all don't know about prophecy. Some of y'all don't know about the revelation of these end-time Israelites. Some of y'all don't know about what's going on in our world. You live in a bubble, and that bubble was created by your pastor. You're in a bubble. You'll never, ever, ever grow listening, following this man that is basically not trusting the Most High. So what am I saying? What's the solution? The solution is, like I said earlier, the solution is always the same. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you can't hear it, I know for a fact that fasting and prayer gets you closer. It makes everything clear to where you can hear the Most High, what he's saying. Some of us are just going to need to fast and pray because we just can't hear the voice of the Most High. And we're in these churches because some of y'all know, some of y'all believe that, hey, I'm not supposed to forsake the assembling of myself with other believers. That's what the Bible says, and some of y'all quote that, and that's true. The Bible tells us we're not to be islands unto ourselves. That is very, very true. We are supposed to be fellowshipping with one another. That is true. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that you have to be with these people that form every Sunday morning. Nowhere. You can't find it. Nowhere. Nowhere. That's made up doctrine. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourself with other brethren, which means sisters as well, in the church. We are supposed to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters of different faiths. That's all there is to it. I mean, you know, of the same faith, believing the Most High I'm talking about. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. I've talked and shared and shared and shared and shared about different things going on in the church, different games, tricks, trends, and I think next week we're going to pick this up and keep hitting it. I didn't invite a lot of people tonight to the very, very last minute, so I didn't expect a whole lot of people, but we got a few people. I'm glad y'all stopped by. And I just want to thank y'all for, again, your support and y'all believing in us. I mean, y'all have really said some wonderful things and done wonderful things for us, and I appreciate that, okay? So this was one of those nights where Brother Seth is sharing strictly out of his heart, strictly out of his head, strictly things he had went through, walked through, and I'm telling y'all, it might sound like something very, very easy to detect some of these ministers, but I don't think the Bible says, again, I'm going to refer back to scripture I said earlier, the Bible says if the Most High don't shorten the time, even the very elect will be fooled. So just think of who do you think is very elect, very smart, very spiritually sound. They could be fooled. Now, if they can be fooled, you know you can be fooled. I'm just sharing some of the ways they are fooling us through gifts, through using a lot of people in the ministry. When something is really big, it looks more like they try to preach it. That looks more godly, something bigger. If something is newer, it looks more godly, you know. So if you're on TV, that's more godly. I mean, it looks like you're more right. All these things make them, all these phony things they try to use, they try to hide behind those things. But deep inside, their heart is far from the Most High, and that's the most important thing to us. So we got to seek the truth. Brother Seth has been sharing just that tonight. If you're seeking the truth, I hope you consider what I'm saying. Be prayerful. Just when y'all hear what I'm saying tonight, hey, just pray about it later, okay? I'm going to wrap the show up, okay? I'm going to let Sister Kingdom just one more time give her information about the website, and then we'll start with the song, okay? All right. Actually, we'll do the song first, and we'll play Sister Kingdom last. So y'all just please pray, seek the Most High. Let him have the last word on this, okay? Because this thing is so much deeper than what I have went into tonight, okay? Anyway, here's Vicky Yohe. Here's Vicky Yohe.